And this morning I want to wrap up a three-part series that I began earlier this month on what does God want? And we looked at God wants us to act justly. He wants us to love mercy. And today we're looking at that third part, to walk humbly. I think to begin with, we really need to recognize this idea of humility, this idea of walking humbly, is seeing ourselves in a proper manner. While the words sound similar, they have some similar background, it's not the same as being humiliated. And sometimes we hear that idea of humility, of being humble, and our experience of life, of being humiliated at one time or another, makes us kind of step back from the idea of humility. Humiliation is something that is not a good thing. It's not of God, but humility is. We looked at from the beginning, out of Micah chapter 6, it's kind of where we brought the series from. God says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And as we look at this idea this morning of what it looks like to walk humbly, we're going to use that word walk, and there's four areas that I want us to consider in our life that we might need to grow a little bit in humility. We might need to look at what it might look like on a day-to-day basis to live with humility in those four different areas. Now, this is not an all-exhaustive list that if you get this down and you live humbly in these four areas, you've got it made. I think humility is something that we constantly have to work on. It's not within our nature, our flesh nature, to be humble. And so it's a practice, it's a work. It's something that we spend time developing. Psalm 25, verse 9. The psalmist writes and says, speaking of God, that he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. And there ought to be great encouragement, great comfort out of that verse to realize that if God wants me to walk humbly with him, I don't have to do it on my own. That God has promised he will guide us, he will direct us, he will show us the way that's right. And the way to walk. And so as we consider what it looks like to walk humbly with our God, I want to begin with where I believe humility ought to begin, and that is we need to learn to worship humbly. Most of us have lived through an era where in one form or another we've heard the term, or at least experienced the term, of worship wars, which to me is a very strange combination of words. Because if you're fighting over worship, you're not really worshiping. You're just fighting. But as I think about what it looks like to worship humbly, I think of an interaction that Jesus had with a woman. We often call the story of the woman at the well. And an encounter that Jesus has with this woman. And in this encounter, Jesus reveals knowledge of her life that, well, it hasn't exactly been stellar. And there are those that look at the next interchange of Jesus and they say, well, she's just trying to change the subject. She's uncomfortable. Jesus is talking about previous marriages and living with a man that's not her husband. And so she says, well, the Jews worship over here and we worship here. Who's right? You know, maybe the first a recorded incident of what you might call the worship wars of trying to figure out who's right, who's doing it correctly. And there are those that look at that statement as just trying to change the subject. I don't know. I look at it and her introduction to that subject is, I perceive that you're a great teacher, that you're knowledgeable about things that others don't know anything about. And there's a part of me that wonders if her question isn't really rooted in reality of, I've always wanted to worship God, but I've never quite figured out how to do it. So explain this to me. But whatever her motivation was in asking that question, Jesus' response is, in essence, neither's right. It's not about the location, it's about the heart. It's about the humility of the person. And he says there's a time coming, in fact it has come, when true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And when we want to look at what it means to worship humbly, it's placing ourselves in proper perspective to who God is. And when we make worship all about us, all about what I want, all about what anyone else wants, we diminish the worship that we ought to be giving God. Because our worship ought to be all about expressing ourselves to God with every fiber of our being in every way that we can. You see, I believe that's what it means and looks like to worship humbly, is we're not drawing attention to ourselves, we're not demanding that my preferences be met, that instead we're lifting up Jesus and honoring Him in all that we do. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, the writer says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." Imagine what it would be like to, in this world, receive a letter tomorrow outlining an inheritance of grand proportions that you never expected was coming. A beautiful property, a mountain creek property if that's your thing, and an oceanside beachfront if that's your thing, or whatever in your mind would be the perfect place. And imagine tomorrow receiving a letter that's not one of these chain scam letters, that says you've inherited this from a relative that simply loved you and wanted you to have it. And as much as that ought to motivate us in a sense of gratitude and thankfulness, God has already written us a letter with a kingdom that is so much greater than anything that you'll find on this earth. And he says, as you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, as you have come into the family of God, you have inherited a place in this kingdom. And the writer of Hebrews says, because of that, we ought to worship God with fear and reverence, acceptably, and I believe humbly, because of what he's given. You see, when we go into any time of worship, whether it's a corporate gathering such as this, or whether it's our own time on Monday or Wednesday or Thursday or whatever it happens to be, and we go into it with a realization that we've received a gift that's completely undeserved, but a gift beyond anything that can be described, it ought to lead us to a worship that's not about us, but it's about the one who's given. And so we walk humbly with our God when we learn to worship humbly. We also walk humbly with our God when we learn to act humbly. James chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The great thing about that is, this humility that comes from wisdom, James has already written earlier in the book that if anyone lacks wisdom, he should go to God who gives generously without finding fault. So if you want to grow in acting humbly, you grow in seeking God's wisdom. You seek God's wisdom through prayer. You seek God's wisdom through spending time in His Word, allowing His Spirit to speak to you through His Word, to change you, to challenge you, to make you what He wants you to be. A little later in James chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, James writes and says, "Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom." James outlines a list of things that help us to approach God in humility. By the way we live, by the way we act. We begin to look at our life, not from the comparisons to others. We're pretty good at that. We look at our life and say, well, I'm pretty good with my relationship with God. I mean, look at that person over there, and they're struggling. Really, I'm better than they are. I don't know that I've ever heard someone that likes to compare themselves to someone else that's doing worse. We compare ourselves to those doing worse, but we don't want it to look like we're doing worse. And so, rather than point out someone that's really succeeding in their walk with God compared to me, I'll kind of compare myself to someone that makes me look better. That's definitely not acting humbly. When we act humbly, we position ourselves in a right place between us and God and between us and others. And we do that when we begin to filter everything that we think, everything we do. The scripture that was read earlier about whatever you do, whatever you think, you know, whatever is good and noble and pure, think about these things. You know, it's those things that we dwell on, that we let our mind rest upon, is eventually comes out as our actions. If you want to learn to act humbly, you need to change your thoughts. You need to change your thoughts about yourself. You need to change your thoughts about God. You need to change your thoughts about others. You see, we learn to act humbly when we put others before ourselves. Philippians, Paul writes, and he says that we should consider others better than ourselves. To do nothing out of selfishness or vain conceit, but in humility. Consider others. And it's that act of considering others better than ourselves that ought to influence the way we treat them day to day. It ought to influence the way we pray for them every day. It ought to influence the way we talk about them when they're not around. When we begin to consider others better than ourselves, we learn to act humbly. But this idea of walking humbly with our God is not simply worshiping humbly, it's not simply acting humbly, but it also involves learning to love humbly. It's kind of an outgrowth or an expansion of this idea of acting humbly, the way we love others. You see, Jesus says that the very definition of love from God's perspective is that we would sacrifice. He says there's no greater love than what a person would lay down their life for a friend. And this idea of learning to love humbly, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul writes, it says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. So many times we think we have to promote ourselves. We have to look out for ourselves. It's often said, you know, I have to look out for number one, thinking that we're number one. But learning to love humbly says, I need to look out for others. In James chapter 4, when I read earlier about our need to change so that we act humbly, the next verse, verse 10, says to humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. When we love humbly, we decide that I don't have to lift myself up. I can let God lift me up. I can let God lift me up as I lift up others. You see, we live life with God's love lifting us. The example of Jesus ought to flow through our hands on Monday morning, that we're lifting up those in our household, our spouse, our children, our parents, our grandchildren, our grandparents, whoever they might be. as we go to work, as we go about the day's task. Loving humbly says, I'm lifting up others, knowing that God Himself is lifting me up. But you know the way the world works. And we struggle. If I don't lift myself up at work, I'm just going to be walked all over. If I don't lift myself up in this situation, no one will notice me. But I can assure you that God always notices. And as much as we may gain temporarily by lifting ourselves, how much more, how much greater when God lifts you up? When we learn to love humbly, we represent Jesus at the greatest level, I think, that we can. Because that's what He did when He came and He sacrificed Himself. And so we walk humbly with our God when we worship humbly, when we act humbly, when we love humbly. But I think maybe the most difficult part is this last one I want to talk about. And that's when we know humbly. We like to think we're right. I know it's often been a joke about men like to think they're right. I think it's just a human trait. I don't think it's exclusive to men. And I believe we live at a time, it's not that it's greater now than it ever has been, but we live at a time where it's more readily available for us to claim we're right. This tool of social media that has great, powerful ways that it can be used, often gets used in very negative ways. And one of those ways that it gets used that is dangerous is that it's very divisive because everybody's right. And in Scripture, 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, and chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, and he says, now about food sacrificed to idols. And I think in today's culture, and not trying to add to Scripture here or anything, but I think, I don't know of anyone that, I've never been concerned about going to the market and wondering if this food has been sacrificed to idols. I don't know that that's an issue that we struggle with today. But what if I would change that wording, and not, again, to change Scripture, but I think it would fit with what we struggle with more. If he would say, now about masks and vaccines and all things COVID-related, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know, but the man who loves God is known by God. We live in a time where information abounds, but knowledge is often scarce. And so many times we latch on to little pieces that agree with what we want to be said, and we think that that's the sum of all knowledge about that subject. And so we know what we're talking about, and everybody that disagrees with us has no clue about anything. But most of the time, in most instances like that, there's truth on both sides, but it's often mixed with things that aren't quite true. And when we look at knowing humbly, we have to take the things we know, we have to take the knowledge that we have and apply it in humility. Because pure knowledge, as Scripture says, puffs us up. And it's applying that knowledge. It's learning how to live in humility with one another. About the time that we think we have everything figured out, it seems that everything changes. That's been true forever. For all of you that are parents in this room, I remember when our daughter was born, and been a long time ago now, but you know, this isn't too bad. And you go through a period of adjustment and learning how to deal with a newborn, and you think, I've got this figured out. I know what I'm doing. And then life changes. They change. They grow. And you realize, I don't know near as much as I thought I did. And that continues throughout their entire life. And that's just a little picture of what every part of life that we deal with is. When we begin to think we know it all, we've set ourselves up for this issue of pride that does not walk humbly with our God. You see, knowing humbly says, what I know is God. I always love it, and Paul has a lot of writing, and very specific writing throughout the New Testament. You read his letters to the churches, and he can get very specific about issues and details and things that they're going through. And there's times where he's pretty blunt with those that he's writing to. And very detailed. But probably one of my favorite quotes from Paul, one of the favorite things that he's written, and I have to think that he probably, as he learned and matured and grew in this idea of knowing humbly, he writes and he says, I have resolved to know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. You see, when we begin to put all of our other knowledge under the umbrella of knowing Christ and Him crucified, it brings a humility to the way we interact with others. And I'm not saying there is anything wrong with knowledge. The great advances that we've experienced, the medical breakthroughs that have experienced have become through people that God has gifted with research and study and knowledge. And so knowledge itself is a good thing. It's when knowledge becomes our God. And it's when we begin to think that somehow we've cornered the market on knowledge, that somehow our piece of knowledge is better than anyone else's piece of knowledge. We've stepped away from this idea of walking humbly because we've decided that our knowledge is not being used in humility. Today, as we consider what it looks like to please God, that was kind of the heart of this three-message series. What does God want? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. I don't know many of you very well. I don't know if your neighbors, if your co-workers, if your friends and family view you as an argumentative person or not. There are definitely ways to speak the truth, and there's call by God and commands by God that we do speak truth. But do we do that humbly, or do we do that with arrogance? God's desire, what He wants, is that we walk humbly with Him. One of the greatest, to me, an ironic verse in Scripture, because it's in the end of the book that's attributed to Moses, but it says that Moses was the most humble man that ever lived. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If you wrote this book, how can you write that? There are those that you know, say that, well, it was added after Moses was finished writing it down, and they just wanted to honor him and acknowledge his humility. But you know, it's tough to walk humbly with our God. Life makes it difficult. And yet when we decide that we want to do what God wants, I believe we're going to learn to put it into practice and grow. One of the great things about all of these topics that I've covered, that they act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly, none of them are things that just happen overnight. Not a one of them is something that you're going to decide today, I want to do that, and you're going to do it perfectly from now on. They're all growth processes. But it all starts with a decision. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to act justly. I want to love mercy. I want to walk humbly with my God. It's my prayer today that that's a decision that each one of you make. You've heard God's word. I've presented it in the best way that I can. Now it's your turn. Do you believe that God's word says he wants you to walk humbly with him? If so, what will you do about it? Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are a God that calls us to yourself. You've given us work to do. You've given us a relationship. You've given us an inheritance and a kingdom that is beyond description. And we come and we ask, what is it that you want us to do? Your word is full of instruction. It's full of guidance. It's full of things. And yet, to boil it down, your word also tells us that what you want is that we would act justly, that we would love mercy, that we would walk humbly with you. So, Father, today as we hear your word, may we decide that we're going to do that. For each person here today, I pray that you would help them to recognize the conviction of your spirit of any change that they may need to make. Maybe it's in their idea of worship. That they would humble themselves before you, that they would worship in spirit and in truth, regardless of the form or fashion or the place or anything else, but they would worship humbly. Father, maybe it's the actions. Maybe pride has taken over. Maybe self is leading. And you're calling that we would act humbly, that we would look out for others even above ourselves. God, maybe it's the way we love. Maybe the relationships that we're in that we call loving relationships, we examine and discover they're really all about us. Whether it's our relationship with a spouse, with family, with you. May we love humbly by recognizing the value of the others, of those we love, and especially the value of you. And Father, today may we put our knowledge in the proper place in relationship to you. May we know humbly. May the knowledge that we possess be expressed in ways that are filled with humility. Father, today as we allow your spirit to direct your word within us, may we respond in a way that only we can. May we, every one of us, realize that we're leaving this building today with a decision. A decision that says, yes, I will walk humbly with my God. Or a decision that says, no, I'm going to keep doing my thing. May all of us decide to say yes. And may we grow every day as we choose to do what you want. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.